Fellow Freedom fans, we're back. I'm David Allen Carmichael with this Faith and Freedom show. It's shocking but true. Thank you, Mr. Computer. This is exciting. I've got my theme music in the background. Of course, my caller can't hear it, but this is, we're having a good time. We're talking to Donnie Barber of the Sovereignty Action Committee. So those of you who want to know, what can I do? The sky is falling. We're not going to tell you the sky is falling. What we're going to tell you is we got a breach in the dike, baby, and we got to plug it. We got to shore it up. And we can make the foundation sound again. But guess what? We got to wake up. That's what we've got to do. So Donnie Barber from the Sovereignty Action Committee, you can check it out at sovereigntyaction.com. His phone number, go ahead, Donnie, and tell us again your phone number for contact. It's in the 352 area code.
Yes, 352-525-0574.
0574, 525-0574. I wrote that down and put it in the wrong spot. Before the break, we were talking about some of the legislation, and as I said, if you want to get involved, it may be that you can talk to somebody who's able to propose a bill, somebody who's a legislator in your area who can propose things. I would encourage you to do your homework first. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety, the Bible says. In the book of Proverbs, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. He who does what is right, the fool does what is right in his own eyes, but he who listens to counsel is wise. Hey, there's a little biblical perspective. And again, I say our freedom is going to come in proportion to our faith. I want to get to something here. There's a bill, Donnie. It's HB1, House Bill. So this is not just a memorial. This is the big kicking kind of House Bill 1. Okay. And what it is it's a statute of, it's to change. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not it. I got the wrong one. I take it back. It's not House Bill 1. It's House Memorial 13. 17. House Memorial 17. I had the wrong one. I was looking at statute of limitations instead of term limits. There's a bill here that's being proposed, and I think is very interesting, but I think it has some dangerous innovations that you mentioned earlier. Have you been involved with inspiring this HM 17?
No, I haven't. To be honest with you, the HM 17 is, in the language that I've read, it's really a cooperation between federal and state power, and it's really a cry out to the federal government, almost a pleading. And I have decided that I cannot be effective on a federal level. I think that too many organizations have attempted to shape policy in Washington, D.C., and that's where we've lost the battle. I'm focused on Tallahassee, and if I do my job and we set up the limitations as citizens in our own respective states, then we will preserve freedom on a local level, and that's far more important to me than it is to do in someone else's neighborhood.
You just answered my caller's question from yesterday, by the way. That was very good. And I'll just brush this a little bit, and then I'll talk about the firearms thing, and then I'm going to there's a caller I want to give an opportunity to get in on this, and he's listening right now. To limit terms in Congress. Now, I'll just go over it real quick in a summary fashion. HM 17 is kind of crying out to the federal government to have this thing where the federal Congress comes up with a constitutional convention. Now, if you read the actual Constitution that they cited, Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States, it says there that the Congress doesn't call constitutional conventions. Legislatures do. The mm-hmm. state legislatures. So you could plead to Congress to come up with a bill, but that's not the Florida legislature's HM's job. That's your job. As a citizen, you could call Congressman Brownwaite and tell her staff tomorrow at the meeting at 10 o'clock in Lecanto that you want them to come up with a constitutional amendment. Well, you could do that. So I think the wording on this HM 17 is kind of scary, but what's really scary is, like you said, when you come up with a constitutional convention, I mean, they did that once when there was Articles of Confederation, and they came back with a very beautiful document, the United States Constitution, but they really went in and you came back with a new nation, a new frame of government. What do you think on that?
Well, I think back then it was a great idea. You had people who were founded in God's word. You had people who were founded in truth and common law. You had people who were founded in the idea that one person's liberty cannot be given up on behalf of a larger group. And that worked great back then with the principles that those people had. Unfortunately, today, Florida is not on the same page as California. Florida's not on the same page as Texas. Florida's not on the same page as Michigan or Pennsylvania. Each state has individual feelings and sentiments and cultures, and that's why states were set up, was so that as those develop, the people can maintain their identity and their belief in what is right and what is free and what is good.
Good word. Hey, folks, I'm talking to Donnie Barber here on the Eagle 104.3 FM and his SovereigntyActionCommittee.com. And that's an important thing for you to check out. We're going to go to this other thing that he mentioned earlier, and I'm going to try to get to a caller. It's House Bill 21. Now, this really is a bill.
Yes, it is.
Okay, tell us about House Bill 21.
Well, this is the exciting one. We call this the Florida Firearms Freedom Act, and we are only up to 3 co-sponsors right now, but we're going to hit this one hard, too. And we thank Representative O'Toole for sponsoring this. This basically provides legislative findings and definitions, and it provides that specified firearms, firearm accessories, and here's the important one, ammunition, that are manufactured in the state are not subject to federal law or regulation. And it's not just law, but it's regulation. And this is a great bill for our state. I'm going to go to my representatives and go, look, this has nothing to do with your political motives or your political cause. The state is hurting financially. If we set up a place where it was a harbor, a safe haven for gun manufacturers to come in this country, where they did not have to deal with the potential serial numbering of ammunition each individual round, and they did not have to deal with the ATF and all these bureaucracies, I believe that they would come into our state and set up manufacturing jobs and set up a great weapons would go down, the cost of weapons, the cost of ammunition would go down. This also talks about materials that are shipped in from other states. It talks about if you buy a firearm in another state, once you become a resident of Florida, those firearms are covered. It talks about stamping weapons with the indication made in Florida. So it's a lot of great potential here. The Second Amendment and the Tenth Amendment, even the Ninth Amendment, are so inseparable. And the reason why I used to be a full-time on the Second Amendment issue, but you have to use the Tenth Amendment in order to secure that right, because states set up those limitations, not the federal government. And we've had so many gun laws, the Brady Bill Act and the ATF and all these different federal bureaucracies, I mean, that's the word I'm going to keep using, that are manipulating. And Florida here, we have a 400% increase in concealed weapon permits. People in Florida understand that it is their responsibility to protect themselves in these hard economic times. Crime goes up. And bills such as this not only are good economically, they're good for the people in regards to safety for their family and their churches and their communities.
And just for a background for folks, what this is it's kind of heady. We're talking these things, issues of the day here on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. This is a proposal that if any firearm is manufactured, any ammunition or things for that in Florida and sold in Florida, that it just, you know, will have to subscribe to Florida law, to those things that you decide that you want here in Florida. Now, of course, it could be more strenuous than the federal requirements. You could do that. But it would be here. It would not be somebody elsewhere who's being influenced by somebody in India who's on the UN committee. I mean, that's really what's going on. If we're seeing
Let me put
it, today.
It in a practical sense, too, David. When you go and you buy a handgun, and let's say you were to buy a Taurus had a factory in Florida, and they made that weapon that you were purchasing in Florida, and it was marked and made in Florida. Normally, when you go and buy a handgun or a rifle, you fill out a form for the FBI, you fill out a background check, you fill out a bunch of paperwork, the gun is registered, they're wanting to do the same process for ammunition. That ends. That ends. If you're not a felon and you go through a unique Florida process, which we haven't really discussed what that's going to be yet, but it'll be a lot different. It won't be in a national database. It changes the way people go in and have privacy. And that's another very important issue that we could really hit on is the issue of privacy.
And this goes very much with your HM 19 about saying, okay, federal government, we don't want you basically making our laws in our state partnered with your federal plan just because you're giving some federal fund in some social welfare benefit program. So it's kind of like if they have the Health and Human Services Code section whatever and say, oh, if you're taking this federal welfare money then, oh, by the way, you have to abide by these firearms plans. And that's kind of things what's going on. That's why Section 666 of the Welfare Code requires people in Florida to give that universal number in order to get a professional license, driver's license, occupational license, marriage license, and recreational license.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of sick, sick, sick. Hey, Dick, wanted to call Dick because I'm talking to Donnie right now. Could you go ahead and give me a call at 888-850-1872 and get in there quick because I'm not going to be able to juggle the buttons while I'm having a conversation here. I have such great intentions to be doing technical things, 10 things at once. I really have good thoughts about that, but I'm not able to do it all the time. Okay, we're talking to Donnie Barber at SovereigntyAction.com. SovereigntyAction.com. And Donnie, I'm going to put you on hold just for a second while I get Dick on the line. And we're going to say, hey, is this Dick?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Dick, I'm going to, right now, go ahead, and if you can, go ahead and ask Donnie your question. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dick. What's your question?
Hi. Is this Donnie Barber?
Yeah, Donnie Barber's on here. You're talking to David Allen Carmichael in the Faith and Freedom Show, and Donnie, he's listened to you. Go ahead and give us your question.
Okay. I question the organization Sovereignty Action. As many other groups in the United States that are formed for their purpose of, say, helping to defend states' rights, if you will.
Okay.
And these groups do not attack the root of the problem.
What's the root of the problem, Dick?
Well, you have quoted the Bible several times, and of course it says in, what is it, 1 Timothy 5, that the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Not money, but the love of it.
That's right.
All right. As long as we have control over the entire money system by a cabal, if you will, of private international bankers, we are operating under martial law already. According to my research over the past 30 years, Franklin Roosevelt declared bankruptcy for the federal government in 1933. And ever since then, we have been operating under the Emergency, the War Powers Act, and Trading with the Enemy Act. So, unless we attack the root of the problem, which is the control that the Federal Reserve System has over the entire country, and that means for each state to say we're tired of this phony money system and we demand an honest money system according to the Constitution, which calls for, in fact, that portion of the Constitution.
Hey, Dick, I got to call you right there. That's a good point. I'm going to let Donnie respond to that. We got about a minute. So, Donnie, give us response. And his essentially, is what you're doing futile, and is there some balance there?
Absolutely not. I agree with Dick 100%, and he's right about the money system. Sovereignty Action would definitely be on the same page as him. You've got to start somewhere. So before we can get to the money issues, we are one another bill that I'd mentioned that we want to work on. It's called State Sovereignty and Federal Tax Escrow Account. And this is basically a bill that says that if the federal government violates certain elements, we refuse to pay them the money that they ask for. It'll be held in the state treasury. Now, he's talking specifically about Federal Reserve notes. What's interesting about Federal Reserve notes is obviously it's...
Hey, wait, I'm gonna come back at the break here, but we're gonna take a break here. Hey, folks, I just want to tell you you're listening to... Thank you, Dick, by the way, and just hang on for a second. You're listening to the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is Eagle 104.3 FM, and we're going to talk about these things because Liberty Works Radio Network is here to bring these issues to light. They appreciate that I come with a Christian biblical worldview because we've got to have a reference in truth, folks, because we're all just scattered. So we're going to come back from the break. We're going to close up on this issue. I've got somebody else who's actively involved in getting involved. And again, Sovereignty Action Committee, or I'm sorry, SovereigntyAction.com. Check it out. You'll find Donnie Barber. And Donnie, it's 352, what's the phone number?
525-0574.